Philippians tonight, Philippians chapter number 1. Man, is it hot today or is it hot? Tell you what, Philippians chapter 1, I think I got this back here. I was reading my Bible early last week, and I came to Philippians, and God really used it to speak to me and to speak to my heart. And I knew my dad would be announcing his retirement this upcoming weekend. And with that, there would be some uncertainty for us as a church. And I thought about Philippians, and I thought about where the church at Philippi was. I thought about the fact that Paul, who was their leader at one point, was no longer there with them. The person who had mentored them, the person who had shaped that church, the person who God had used to mentor many of those Christians and see them come to faith. And by God's providential will, Paul was in prison, something that nobody would have wished on Paul, something that Paul obviously wouldn't have even wished on himself. And it's interesting earlier in Philippians chapter 1, how Paul says that his imprisonment, which was God's will, which is something that the church would have never wanted, was something that had furthered the gospel. So something that was God's will, even though it was out of their control or outside what they wanted, was something that had furthered the gospel. And Paul says this, it was a good thing for him to be in prison. You know, whenever we follow God's will, ultimately, it's always for our good and God's glory. It always is. And there are times in our lives where we come to stretches of our life where maybe we have some wrestling matches with God, or maybe we're not exactly sure if we can trust God in this situation. When we follow God's will and submit, ultimately, we always win. And he always gets glory. If you want to read about the start of the church at Philippi, you can go to Acts chapter 16 and you can check that out. Just a crazy start to how that church started. But before we get into read the text, I want to show a couple pictures so you get an idea of where Philippi was. You see Philippi at the top part of the screen over there in Macedonia region. That's where Greece is at today. So you kind of see some of where the church is at. That obviously is the Mediterranean Sea there. So you see that. Philippi, this is a original Colosseum that was there 2,000 years ago. You can still go there and see it today. The interesting thing about Philippi is some of these cities in the Bible, some of these churches, there's nothing left of those cities. But Philippi is one of the cities where you can go and there's still several remaining things left of what the city was like originally. So you can see just some of the remnants of what's left of the city. And I think, yeah, that's the last picture we have there. But you can get an idea of what the place looked like. So what I want to do tonight is very simple in the 25 or 30 minutes we have together. I want us to, as a church, we're in a similar position that the church at Philippi was in. And in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, this is how you go forward. This is how you go forward, even though there's some uncertainty, even though you may not exactly know what the future is. This is what you do. And what I want to do is I want to take what Paul says and say, church, over the next 14, 15 months or so, this is what we do because this is what a healthy church does. Paul says, this is what I want you to be. I want you to be a strong church. I want you to be a healthy church. And Philippians 1 verse 27 tells them how you do that. And we're going to read that verse tonight. Philippians 1 27. I think there's an outline in the service program if you want to track along with us. Philippians 1 27 says the following. Only let your conversation, that word conversation means lifestyle. Let your life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, which Paul's absent at this point, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, Lord, as I open up your word, Lord, as we see Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 tonight, Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi nearly 2,000 years ago was simple. They would be a healthy, strong church. And Lord, our prayer for Calvary is that we would be a healthy, strong church. And God, as we look at your holy word, Lord, I pray that we would follow, Lord, what you put together with your divine will so we can be a healthy, strong church. Give us understanding. Would your spirit move among us tonight? We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever go to a doctor for a checkup and they give you some good news and then sometimes they give you bad news? They tell you, okay, you need to stop doing this. You need to stop eating so much junk food. You need to stop this, stop that. You need to start exercising. I had a physical checkup earlier in January, and they said, now you're young and you're healthy right now, but you still need to be aware of some things, because just because you're young doesn't mean something can't happen to you. And the doctor was clear as far as how to be healthy and some things of that nature. And the reality is that our bodies naturally drift to being unhealthy. They don't naturally drift to being healthy. It takes intentionality. And just like our bodies drift towards being unhealthy rather than healthy, we don't drift into being healthy. A church is the exact same way. Churches don't drift into having health. Churches naturally drift into being unhealthy. And for a church to be healthy, it takes the Holy Spirit at work, and it takes the people of the church to have a unified spirit saying, this is what we are going to be. In verse 27, Paul shares what a healthy church looks like. And we need to be aware of a healthy church, because it's easy for us to drift away from being a healthy church. You know, over the next year or so, we may say, what do we do as a church? Man, you know, how exactly are we going to formulate a plan? And when the pulpit committee gets together, I mean, how are we going to find all these candidates? Because we need to find the right candidate. Absolutely. But the most important thing that we need to do over the next year is to focus on being a healthy church, is to focus on being a strong church here at Calvary. Something a little different tonight. I'm going to start from the end of the verse, and I'm going to work my way back through it as we look at what a healthy church is. Notice, first of all, a healthy church is focused on the gospel. This is what Paul says in verse 27 at the very end. It says, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. If you're there, can we say that together? Ready? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. A healthy church's calling card is the gospel. A healthy church sees the gospel and is passionate about the gospel. This is what is at the forefront of a healthy church's mind. This is what permeates the thinking of a healthy church, and that is the gospel. And I want to be clear about what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's the good news that Jesus Christ came into all the world to save sinners. That is what the gospel is. And Paul says, as a church, a healthy church strives together for the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. There's nothing more important than the gospel. Whether the pastor preaches a 45-minute sermon, or as you guys are hoping for me tonight, that I just preach a 20-minute sermon, the most important thing is the gospel. And Paul says a healthy church strives for that. The healthy church doesn't strive for building decor, doesn't strive for a certain style. It doesn't strive for the number of songs a church sings. You know, this morning as a congregation, I don't know if you noticed. I know some of you did, because some of you noticed every little thing. We sang 4 songs this morning before the message instead of 3. You know, a healthy church says, it doesn't matter if we sing 4, 2, 7, or 8. What matters is that the gospel was proclaimed this morning and that the name of Jesus was lifted up in our songs. Can you say amen? That is what's most important. For our membership next week, we're starting a Next Step class. I think we have like 4 or 5 family units signed up for that. I was talking to some families about that in the lobby after church today. And what we do is we just take 2 weeks and we walk them through, what does it mean to be a member at Calvary? We now kind of have a membership agreement and say, hey, if you're going to be a member here, these are some things we expect of you to keep unity amongst the body. It's actually show up for church. We don't want you to be a member here and never come, some things like that. But you know, if we took our membership class and went from 2 weeks to 6 weeks, or we didn't even have a membership class, that is not more important than the gospel. What's most important that a healthy church focuses on is the gospel. My dad's told me some stories about when he got here nearly 25 years ago. And when he came to the church, not only did it look very different in building and things of that nature. But he's told me about how the people, they were focused on all these other things. There was divisions within the church, and there were some factions within the church. And what had happened is the church no longer made a big deal. The gospel wasn't in its proper place. All these other things that are of lesser importance than the gospel had become more important, and the church had gone into a place of unhealth. Why? Because they didn't focus on the gospel. And as my dad came here and said, hey, let's get together. Let's focus on the gospel. Guess what? Some people got mad. It's like, well, we're at church. You say, okay, this is the gospel. This is what we're doing here. Some people say, no, I like this more important. And guess what? They got upset. But a spiritual leader takes the church and says, hey, let's rally together around the gospel because the gospel is the most important thing. As a church, we're healthy when we focus on what God says is important. As a church, if we're loud on places that God is silent on, we're going to get in trouble. If we make a big deal out of things that we can't find in this book, we're in trouble. Now I want to say this. If we're going to be a healthy church, if it's in here, we better make a big deal out of it. But if it's not in here, we better be silent about it. And what happens is I've been a Christian for a while. I've been raised in this church. I have preferences just like every one of you. What happens is when I let my preferences, because I have some personal preferences, get in the way of the message of Jesus, of the most important things. That can't be my focus. I need to walk in humility and let the Spirit of God lead me and say, what can I do as a Christian to focus on the gospel? You know, I have several friends that aren't yet Christians. I'm so thankful that some of them, they come sporadically here, and I'm praying for many of them. And there are some things, honestly, about them that just make me feel a little uncomfortable. I'm just going to be real. They do. But my heart is that I can get them the gospel. My heart is that they will be saved. And we need to be a church that has a heart that's focused on the gospel, a heart to see people reached with the message of Jesus. I have a Twitter account, and I follow in a user on Twitter called the Secular Coalition. And what the Secular Coalition tries to do is they have about 40,000 followers, so several thousand people follow them. And they're trying to promote ideas of atheism, humanism, and everything else along those veins. And they are very passionate, and they are very focused about their mission, about communicating their message. And they're trying to get people on their side, and they're trying to communicate a cause. Like, that is what they're passionate about, atheism, humanism, and everything that goes along with that. And what these group of people have done, I mean, they have rallies together. They do all kinds of things. They have decided that this is what our focus is going to be on, and we're going to be all about it. And I thought, I see them, they're always posting stuff all the time. What if the church would say, you know what's going to be our rallying cry? You know what's going to be our passion? It's going to be the gospel. That's what it's going to be. That's going to be our passion. That's going to be our rallying cry. And Paul tells them, strive together for the gospel. I find it interesting in all of Philippians, Paul's in prison because of the Roman government. Not one time does Paul say, I want you to strive together to overthrow the government. I want you to strive together to let Nero know that what he's doing is not right. He's put me in prison. He's messed up my rights. Paul not one time says that. And if anybody had any reason to be upset with the government, it was a man that was falsely imprisoned. But not one time does Paul say that. Paul says, I want you to strive for the gospel. Real quick, I have a question on the screen. I want us to talk just for a minute. I don't know if you guys can see this, but I want to get your feedback real quick, nothing too long. But what kind of things can churches strive for? What kind of things can churches dangerously give too much attention to and unintentionally devalue the gospel? Let me say this by devaluing the gospel. Anything, if the gospel is right here, anything we put on the same level as the gospel is devaluing the gospel because it's saying that this is as important as the gospel. So what kind of things, quickly, can churches strive for? And what kind of things can churches dangerously give too much attention to and unintentionally devalue the gospel? And these aren't sinful things. A lot of times it's really good things. But maybe something you've noticed or maybe a thought that comes to your mind. What's that? Absolutely, programs. Just program the church to death. Yeah, like all these programs and programs and programs. You got to have a program for all the big toes that get stubbed, you know, on Tuesday night. All this different stuff. Yeah, programs. Yeah. Somebody else. Adam. Politics. Yeah, politics. Absolutely. Dress. Yep, dress can be something. Yep, that's exactly right. Gigi, or Tita, you told me to start calling you. Tita, did you, prosperity? Yeah, you know, I'll get that big smile on and say, give Jesus your life and he'll just make you rich. Sorry, that's not the message of the gospel, but yeah, you're exactly right. Prosperity, money, yep. June. Yeah, become a social club, like let's just come and just hang out and, you know, let's just make everybody feel good. Yep, we can focus on social club, we can focus on programs, dress, prosperity, all these different things. Government, maybe one or two more. Anybody else? Good stuff. A healthy church, number one, is focused on the, that's what we're focused on. That's what we need to be. We need to be a healthy church so to do that. And we each make the choice. Are we going to focus on the gospel or not? Notice number two as we move into this. Number two, a healthy church is unified. A healthy church is unified. You know, as a church, we're going to have to decide what hills are we going to die on? What hills are important enough to die on? The city of Fairfield has over 100,000 people, and there are hardly any churches in Fairfield. The gospel isn't being proclaimed all over the place. And there are people that God is something that is not a part of their lives right now. But I believe that it's God's will that God is a part of every person's life in this city. And we have to decide as a church, what hills are we going to die on? Notice what Paul says in verse 27. He says, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Paul tells the church, I want you guys to be together. I want you guys to be unified. Paul makes this plea for unity. Now here's the gospel, and I want all the church to come together around the gospel. Listen, it's not about a position in the church. It's not about a name in the church. It's not about your ministry being more important than this ministry. It's not that you've been going to church for 20 years and this person's been going for three, so you're more important. Nope, that's not important at all. It's not about any of that. What it's about the gospel and it's about the church coming together and unifying around it. A few verses later in chapter 2, this is what he says. I put it on the screen here. Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. We're all to walk in humility, encouraging one another, building one another up. Verse number 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As a church, we shouldn't be concerned about us as individuals. We shouldn't be concerned about me. We should be concerned about we. We shouldn't be concerned about all about where we are in life, but we should be concerned with other people. We should love our brothers and sisters. We should encourage one another. And you know why we should do it? In verse 5, because this was the mind that was in Christ Jesus. This was the mind that was in Christ Jesus. This idea of as a church, I'm going to care for my brothers and sisters, and I'm going to put them above me. I'm going to put their needs above my needs. I'm going to put their name above my name. I'm going to put other people before me. You know, a church that's divided is not only an unhealthy church, but it's not going to go forward for the gospel. A church with factions and divisions and backbiting and bitterness, That is not what God intended his church to be at all. That is not what God wants of his church. But God can work in a church of unity, in a humble church. And you know the reason why sometimes we get concerned with ourselves? It's because of pride. It takes humility to be unified. It takes humility to put somebody else above yourself. Look what Jesus says. He says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You want the community to know that you're a Christian? Then love your brothers and sisters. You want the community to know that you're a follower of Jesus? You want them to feel the message of Christ? Then love your brothers and love your sisters. The gospel is too important for us not to be unified, for us to get caught up in pride. And I'm going to say this, a unified church does not happen on accident. A unified church does not happen on accident. It only happens on purpose. This is what's natural, for me to get upset at somebody and somebody to get upset at me. And I hold it against them and they hold it against me. That's what's natural. That is the natural fleshly thing for us to do. But if there's something between us and another brother or us and another sister, you know what the right thing to do, the biblical thing to do for the sake of the gospel is to go and make that right. It's to go and ask forgiveness or to go and extend forgiveness. Misunderstandings are going to happen. People are imperfect. They're going to hurt your feelings, even in church. Even Christians that love Jesus are going to hurt your feelings. And you know what we need to do? We need to extend grace to them because that's what a unified church does. A unified church extends grace. We have to respond in a biblical way. I'm going to say this. If we want our church to be healthy, we're going to have to fight for unity. Every single one of us are going to have to fight for unity. I wish I could be at Starbucks coffee downtown looking across the table at every single one of you one-on-one over the next week. And I'd say, listen, hey, let's be focused on the gospel and let's fight for unity. Every one of us in here. Forget doing it at the big church level. Let's just do it at a personal level for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of us being a healthy church. There's going to be ample opportunities for you to get upset with somebody, for you to get bitter at somebody, for somebody. Sometimes people just say stupid stuff. Do they not? They just say stupid. I'm like, did you really just say that? And you know what? Sometimes they're just stupid people. Just forgive them. Let's have unity in this church. Let's have unity in this body over the next 12 to 16 months. If we're going to be a healthy church, according to Paul, what are we going to be? We're going to be focused on the gospel. We're not going to be focused on lesser things. We don't have time for lesser things here. Maybe if out of 100,000 people, maybe 80,000 people were Christians and 80,000 people went to church on Sunday, maybe we could find our niche in the Christian community and kind of, we don't have that availability. The gospel's urgent and we have to get it to them. Number two, if we're going to be healthy, we have to strive for unity. We have to. We can't be bitter at one another. We have to forgive one another. We have to extend grace to one another. This can't be me against you, or my place is more important than your place, or I want to be a leader. It's about us being unified together. But number three, and we're done tonight, a healthy church isn't man-focused. A healthy church isn't man-focused. Notice how Paul opens up this verse. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs." Paul says, hey, whether I'm there or I'm not, this is how it should be. Paul says, whether I'm in prison, whether I'm about to die at the hands of Nero, which he was, whether I'm there with you, leading you in worship, preaching and teaching the word of God, or whether you never see me again, this is what you should do. A healthy church isn't focused on any one person. Listen, my dad has poured his life out here, and we are so thankful for that. He has invested and he has mentored so many of us. But whether he's here or not, we need to be obeying God. Whether he's here or not, we need to be following Jesus. Whether he's here or not, we need to be focused on the gospel. You know, I was talking to somebody this morning after our meeting this afternoon, and they were saying, you know, I was in a similar situation years and years ago. And they said, when the pastor left, half the church left. And this is what she said. It was so good. She recognized it. She said, and the reason why is because they were following a man. They weren't following God. And I said, amen. That's right. And I said this. I said, let's not be that church. A healthy church is not built around a personality. It's not built around a man. And leadership in the church is extremely important. And I'm so thankful for the leadership that we've had here, so don't misunderstand my heart. But what Paul says here is that we need to have a commitment to the bride of Christ because it's the bride of Christ, because it's the church, because our commitment is not based on a person. It's based on the God that we are serving. And I want to commend you as a church. There are times where my dad's gone on vacation or my dad's somewhere, and you know he's not going to be here. And you know what you guys still do? You guys still show up. Whether he's here, whether he's not here. I know some churches, pastor's not here, and everybody does whatever they do. But you are a church that loves the word of God. You are a church that comes here because that's what God wants, not because of any one person preaching the word of God. And I want to commend you as a church to say, this is an area where our church is strong in. This is an area where our church has a love for God's word. What Calvary Baptist Church needs to be and what we need to strive to be over the next several months in this transition phase is we need to strive to be a healthy church. In the future, whoever's the next pastor, whoever God wants here, this church doesn't need to be a mega church. This church doesn't need to be a cool church. This church doesn't need to be an old-fashioned church or fill in the blank of any other style out there, because there are tons of styles out there. This church needs to be a healthy church. This church needs to be a place where the word of God is preached. This church needs to be a place where the focus is the gospel. This church needs to be a place where there is unity among brothers and sisters, and there's grace and forgiveness and love being extended. This church needs to be a place where we have a passion for those who are not yet Christians to get them the gospel. This church needs to be a place where we have a passion to get the gospel to people that are thousands of miles away from here that don't know Jesus, but we're willing to sacrifice so those people in Africa, in Asia, in Australia, and fill in the blanks, so those people can hear the gospel. What does Calvary Baptist Church need to be? Calvary Baptist Church needs to be a healthy, biblical church. And I'll say this, if our church is healthy, if what the Word of God says is what we value, if we are passionate about the gospel, let God do with this church whatever he will. Let God do with this church whatever he will, because this is God's church. This is not any one person's church. It's not. The person that's been here the longest, the person that's been here the shortest. I mean, we say this is my church and we should have a loyalty and pride for our church. Don't get me wrong. But I think you know my heart is that God has built the church and this is God's church. And let us say, God, we're going to be obedient to you. God, we're going to focus on the gospel. We're going to strive for unity. We're going to do what your word says. And God, would you just please do your work in our church? Would you just please do your will through us to impact this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ? God, would you please do your work? And I believe that God would do something. I believe if we'll be what God wants us to be, if we'll be the Christians, the church that God wants us to be, I believe that God can use us in a very, very great way. That's what I'm asking you to do tonight. Very personal. I'm going to ask you tonight to commit to saying, I'm going to do my part to having this church be a healthy church. over the next 15 months, I'm going to do my part for this church to be a healthy church. I'm going to fight for unity. I'm going to focus on the gospel. I'm going to pray for this church. None of us know what's going to happen in the future. Not one person does. Not even like my dad was saying this morning. It'd be nice if we had like a spiritual crystal ball and we don't. So several of you asked me, what are you going to do afterwards? Are you going to follow your dad to South Carolina? I don't know what God has for Gina and myself. I don't know. None of us know. But I'll tell you what, over the next 15 months, will you commit tonight? I'm serious. Will you commit tonight to say, hey, I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to do in my human power what it takes to have this church be a healthy church. Let's pray together. Let's have this be our prayer tonight. Father, I ask you that we would be a church that's a healthy church. This is your